Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Ringside Chaos, the professional wrestling discussion segment of the Bear of Texas podcast. The only professional wrestling podcast in the world where pro wrestling is discussed passionately, with confidence, with great knowledge, and most of all, in the most sophisticated way. So brace yourselves, ladies and gentlemen, because chaos is about to be unleashed.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of Ringside Chaos, the professional wrestling discussion segment of the Bear of Texas podcast and Paint Drain Pipe Bomb Productions. As usual, I am Alex Alcazaz, a.k.a. the Bear of Texas, and it is my honor and privilege to welcome you, the co-founder and promoter of Legacy Texas Wrestling. Ladies and gentlemen, I give to you the one, the only, Carl Knight. Carl, welcome to the show. God bless you so much, and thank you for coming on, my friend.
Wow. That's quite the hype. I appreciate that. And God bless you as well. Thank you for having me.
Well, when you asked me that you wanted to be on, you know, I was so honored because, you know, last week I had Mr. Kyle Hessler on, who's the owner and promoter of Pele Pro. You've been involved so much with Pele Pro, and I want to help build this show. I want to help, you know, like help everybody. I feel like it's a help you, help me situation. You know, exactly. At the end of the day, it's a blessing.
Yes, the help you help me mentality is pretty much how I've been able to sustain myself in this business. A good friend of mine, Keith Roberts, told me one day that it's a one hand washes the other. So I was doing a lot of promoting and for VIP and for NAWA and MPX and, you know, through podcasting and stuff like that. And, it gave me an opening into the business more than I had in the past because, you know, back in 1996, I actually started wrestling in Georgia, and that didn't work out too well. And then 99, I came back to Dallas and started wrestling again. While I was in training, I had a major back injury and I was literally put out of commission. And for 15 years, I didn't even know there was a wrestling scene in Dallas. So to be able to get back into it, because I mean, literally, I've been in this business since I was 13 years old in some form or fashion. My mother was a promoter. My stepfather was a wrestler. My mom actually wrestled on occasion. So in theory, I am second generation.
Wow.
Promoter and wrestler.
So you come from a pro wrestling family, my friend.
I do come from a pro wrestling family. And it's been quite the ride.
So you remember the days of the territories very well, you know, in our case here in the South, you know, the days of wrestling.
Yes. I'm very familiar with territory days. I'm very familiar with territorial encroachment, if you will. The politics that go behind it and all that, you know, the nasty side of professional wrestling, as some people would say. But it, you know, in every sense, it is a business. So you do have to, you know, maintain a business presence as well, which is some of the obstacles that we've been running into. Me and my wife have been running into, and, you know, not on a negative side of things, but just, you know, business is business. So, but anyway, not to go off on a tangent, But no, man, I love this business. I've loved it since I was 9 years old, you know, since I was watching the Von Erichs on, you know, Channel 11 on Saturday nights at my grandma's house.
World-class championship wrestling. I know. And I told Kyle a very interesting story, you know, from the Major League Wrestling intimidation games that I was, you know, for WrestleMania weekend. But, you know, when you see like the grounds of where the sport of tournament used to be, you know, it's, that's got to be a very tough, you know, moment, you know, for wrestling fans that would come to WCCW back in the day.
Yeah, especially for the people that have grown up here and, you know, grew up watching it, because when the Sportatorium got torn down, I guess it, what was it, like 2001?
I believe so. It's
somewhere
it's
around there, you know, early 2000s, you know, that to me, that was a piece of history. And, you know, people did try to preserve it as a historical marker because of its lineage, not just because of the wrestling, but just because of Elvis played there. Buddy Holly played there. That building had been around since way before wrestling. You know, it was a concert venue also. And it was the Corican Hall of the time, you know, everybody that goes to Japan, they want to work at Corican Hall. Well, everybody that came through Texas, they wanted to work, you know, the Cow Palace in Tyler. They wanted to work the Sportatorium in Dallas, and, you know, the bigger venue, you know, venues down towards in Houston where Paul Bosch ran and stuff like that. So, you know, it was a destination. It wasn't just a rickety old building, even though it was a rickety old building. But people did make the attempt. Kevin Von Erich, if I'm not mistaken, was the forefront on that, to preserve it as a historical landmark. And the city of Dallas is like, nah, it's just a rickety old building. So it didn't mean much to the actual city of Dallas. But
yeah, it amazes me how much lack of respect has been given to pro wrestling over the years. I mean, yeah, people always look at it. I'm like, I don't want to get too deep into that because that's gonna drive me insane, but wrestling has such a proud history, especially here in the state of Texas, you know, it's in Dallas-Fort Worth.
Yes.
And, you know, now that I just learned that you come from a pro wrestling family, you know, this is the art of, you know, of getting people involved in the wrestling business on this show on a unique pro wrestling podcast such as this one. You know, at the end of the day, for me as a journalist, I'm going to school, like learning so much. I learned a lot from Kyle. And I'm sure from a lot of the talent and, you know, promoters I plan on having in the future, I'm just going to be learning so much. And that's the biggest blessing. And, you know, and speaking, you know, when I was brought in, you know, when I was invited by Kyle to come to a Pele Pro, you know, back in last year in 2021, the night that Cam Cole won the title. Yeah, you know, I believe, yeah, you know, we have that story. I'll never forget when Kyle, you know, asked me for a favor, you know, I think, you know, to run close by to a place to grab food. And yeah, and I remember you gave me such specific instructions that I wrote them down on my phone. I told the employees three times, and then they still didn't get
it. Was that you?
Yeah, that was me, dude.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, I ordered it was Burger Street. I ordered two hot dogs with mayonnaise.
Yeah, and I think they forgot the mayonnaise, didn't they?
They forgot the mayonnaise.
Yeah, there you go. That's probably a Jim Cornette story I should tell him one day.
When you're setting up... When you spend the entire day at a venue, for, you know, like, because, you know, since we're talking about Palais Pro, I'll go into my history with that. I was originally booked by Devin Storm to work the very first one at the brewery. Legal Draft Brewery. So I've literally been with Palais Pro since day one. At one point, one of my partners, Mike Tatum, was renting the ring to Kyle. And that was my job with him, was to manage that ring. And I've managed that ring probably for 5 or 6 years. And so... yeah, so when I'm at a venue for the entire day, it's hard for me to get away. So I'm always trying to find somebody to go get me something to eat. So I appreciate that. I appreciate that you were able to take care of that for me.
Well, you know, for me, again,
I got the order wrong, but whatever.
Well, it's just that, you know, honestly, I'll be honest. I'm still like, because I feel like the fact that it was done wrong. I kind of feel like this should not have happened. But you know, it happens. You know, it happens all the time. You tell these employees specifically what you want, they just can't. Just I don't even know. I mean, it's unbelievable. But I was happy to do it because, you know, I was entrusted with such a task. You know, I've always wanted to make a difference and help out the pro wrestling business. And when a promoter, you know, asks me for a personal favor, you know, especially because Kyle and I are very close now, you know, at the time, you know, our friendship was really getting better, you know, like that. We had a huge bond and a connection. I want to do anything I can to help.
Yeah. And, you know, that's how a lot of people get into the business. You know, they start out, you know, helping with setup. They start out, you know, being a runner, you know, kind of helping us relay information back and forth. And, you know, everybody has a spot in the business. You just have to find yours. And, you know, it's not always going to happen right off the bat, but it's one of those things, you know, like a lot of people think that, well, hey, I've been doing this and I've been doing that. Now I can wrestle. Let's not put the horse before the carriage. Or the carriage before the horse, because you got to have the horse to draw the carriage. Anyway, you know, the thing about it is, you know, some of us get lucky. You know, like I started out getting back into it, like I said, doing podcasting and stuff. And, you know, I'd had in-ring experience. I'd been trained, whether it was good training or not is irrelevant at this point. But I wanted to do more. I wanted to do something different. And, you know, I took a chance at being a referee. And, you know, I had some wonderful opportunities thrown at me over the last 7-8 years. And, you know, it's just one of those things, you know, when we say we're blessed, we're not just blowing smoke up people's, you know, tailpipes. We're literally blessed to be in this business. You know, it's a unique business. It's a, not everybody can do it. And the ones that are in it, are in it for a reason. And, you know, I like to look at, I try to find the silver lining in everything. I try to find a positive aspect in everything. I try really hard not to focus on the negatives, because it's so easy to focus on the negatives.
It is.
So, you know, if I can get to a point, you know, to where I'm progressing, you know, I started out here. I worked to this point. Now I'm to this point. Now I want to get to this point, you know? So it's definitely been a gradual progression, from, you know, a failed wrestler, an injured wrestler at that point, to podcasting, to a referee, to now a promoter, you know, booker, creative. You know, it's been an incredible journey over the last, you know, near 8 years. And, you know, I couldn't be happier where I'm at. I never thought I could get to this point. And I think part of that drive is just having the right support system, you know, not just your buddies hyping you up, but people that literally take a genuine interest in you, and you feed off of them, and you actually listen when they talk. You don't, you know, we have an expression, the yeah buts. You know, like if somebody says, hey, you should have done this, but you did that, and then they say, well, yeah, but. Okay, well, if you retort with a yeah, but, that means that no matter what that person's going to say to you, you're always going to have a counter of why their idea or why what they're saying isn't important. And to me, it's really important to just shut your mouth and open your ears. Eventually, you'll be the one talking.
Exactly. You see, that right there is the art of when it comes to learning the ropes in the pro wrestling business. Mouth closed, ears open.
Well, learning in general.
Yeah, I mean, especially in journalism as well. Like,
Yeah.
You know, even in journalism, like when I was an intern, you know, covering the Texas Rangers, I'll never, ever forget. This dude really had to be my age. I don't know what school he went to, but he asked one of the guys if he could have of like the front seat in the press box. And I just looked at him like, this dude might have just damaged his career right there just doing that.
Right.
You sit where they tell you to sit. Okay. Yep. And I would have said, you know, what is there to complain about? Here we are in the press box. We get free soda. We get free ice cream. We get free popcorn. We have a good view where we are. We have all the information sheet. I mean, what else is there to – there's nothing to complain about.
And eventually I'm going to get paid to do this.
Eventually. Now, who knows how long it's going to take? I mean, in my case, as a journalist, it's been extremely difficult that sometimes I just break down. I tear up because I'm 29. My big break's, you know, not quite here, but I know that I'm so close. And look, in my career has taken a turn to where I feel like God wanted it to, because for so many years I've sent out my resume, I've sent out work samples to ESPN, Fox Sports, and only to be told, well, to be honestly, never to get a response, or to just be told, yeah, we just don't feel like you're our guy. And now I'm at kind of a point, well, you know what? It's their loss, not mine, because. And I have 5 shows now. I have an audience. I've gotten a lot of good words. I know what I'm doing. If they don't want me at the end of the day, it's their loss, because it's hard to believe, but in podcasting, you can certainly get to a point where you have a better living you can ever make, you know, being employed by somebody else. Now it's harder, especially with paying taxes and everything. But at the end of the day, you made it and you did it your way. So that's the way I see it.
Exactly.
And that's what Kyle has told me, along with, you know, Keith and a lot of other wrestling names have told me that in the independent wrestling business.
Well, you know, one of the things that you'll hear more no's than you'll hear yeses.
Yeah, no doubt.
So, I mean, I say it's an unfortunate fact of life, but it really is an unfortunate fact of life. But as you said, when you can, you know, build a base on your own terms, that to me, that's success. You know, I can go work for anybody and do just about anything I'm told, but when I can work for myself and I'm the one that's getting things done, that's being told, you know, that's to me, that's a level of achievement and a level of success that not many people get. And, you know, I'm still green in the promoter game, but you know, I didn't just jump into wrestling and be like, oh, I'm gonna be a promoter. You know, I worked my way through. You know, like I said, you know, I've been around. I've been in the business for a while, and I've worked my way up to a position, and I built a reputation to where people trust me, and they don't even. You know, when we reach out to somebody for a booking opportunity, usually it's like, oh yeah, I'd love to come out. You know, even on our first run show, which is, you know, it's first run shows can be a little tricky, a little sketchy sometimes, because you never know. But if you know the person and you've worked with them before and you have a rapport with them, it's easier to go into it. There's a little bit of comfort there. So, but I mean, for people that have never worked with me and never met me, or, you know, never even heard of me, I can understand it, but I don't know. So, I mean, luckily everybody that I've booked, that me and my wife have booked for our 3 shows, are people that I have worked with, a handful of times, a number of times, a lot of times, and we all just have a genuine respect for each other and the business. So, like I said, you know, being positive, not, you know, jumping on social media and bitching and moaning and complaining every day, every week, you know, that goes a real long way. You know, people are more drawn to the negativity. They're like, oh man, that's toxic. I don't want anything to do with that guy. So I try to keep business and personal, and personal most of the time stays within the household, within the confines of my home. because it's really nobody's business other than mine and my family's what's going on. So if I show that I'm not stable in my personal life, it could project that I'm not stable in my business life. And that's what a lot of people forget. You know, I've mentored a few people over stuff like that just because they're so negative about this and negative about that. I'm just like, man, dude, you know, if you're not getting booked, it's not because you're not a good wrestler. It's because you're not a good personality. You project toxicity, and nobody wants that. So when you stop projecting that, it's a different look. You know, it's a different perspective. You know, if all I ever see is a guy going on and talking about this show's great, you know, I love this, I did this, I did that, I did that, that's the guy I want because he's positive. But if I see a guy that's over there like, oh man, this guy won't book me because of this or because of that, you know, I that's just not really something I want to take a chance on, because I don't want that type of vibe in my locker room. I don't want that type of vibe in my company. And that's what me and my wife, we have to work around stuff like that all the time. So It's just one of those things, you know, what people see, what you project, even though, you know, it may just be you venting or something like that. Lou Gotti told me one time, you know, he's like, dude, you've got to calm down with your personal stuff. You know, like, nobody wants to see that. You know, there are bookers and promoters all over Facebook, all over social media. And if all they see is you bitching and complaining, that's what they're going to perceive you as, is a problem. And they don't want that around their environment. So, you know, I took that to heart. So I really, 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 really try really hard not to do that at all.
I can't tell you how many wrestlers. I mean, Kyle, you know, has motivated me like that. Same thing with Lou, Keith, Chandler Hopkins. And this will actually be hard to believe, but even Nastico gave me a motivational pep talk. I know, as hard as it is to believe, even Nastico gave me a motivational pep talk. And, you know, and I've learned a lot in the wrestling business. And, you know, and life is tough because, you know, but you just got to keep going. Like, I'll admit today, you know, before I got here, you know, I learned that, you know, the rear camera on my car, all of a sudden the screen was pink, and then I lost it. I kind of went on Twitter and I like that. And then I turn off my car and turn it back on, and I think it was working again. I think maybe it was just, I don't know. But, you know, I just hope that it's nothing bad, it won't happen again. But sometimes we just have those moments, and then, here I am, happy again, you know, calm, you know, taking, you know, being blessed that, you know, I'm interviewing you, and, you know, I've just learned so much from you. I'm just kind of like, I can't stop looking at the sky, pointing at the sky, and thanking God for this, dude.
I mean, you know, without him, there is nothing. So
I mean, just like every Pele Pro Wrestling show, VIP Wrestling, DFW All Pro. You know, every wrestler I've gotten, I've spoken to, I mean, I just, you know, I'm grateful for it, and I thank God for it. I'm grateful to God.
Nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, and as I was, you know, studying, you know, your shows, you know, from your first show, which was, I believe, you know, Pull the Trigger, you know, and the one with Reload. And, you know, in one of the shows, you had somebody who was a friend of a friend, Franco Varga.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I've not met him personally, but I'm kind of connected with him. He actually used to wrestle with and then travel along the roads with my former co-host, my previous pro wrestling podcast, Wrestling with a Bear. He's actually acquainted with Chris Rex.
Oh, okay.
Well, at least I believe they still are. I mean, I'm not sure, but I know that he and Chris Rex know each other very well.
Yeah, Franco's a good guy, man. Yeah. I've seen him work a couple of times, and, you know, he happened to be in town that weekend, and I just happened to have a spot, and we were able to connect, and you know, in the time, the you know, the I practically spent the day with him because I had to pick him up from the airport and all that fun stuff. You know, I picked his brain because, you know, he's a booker and he's a promoter also. So I picked his brain, you know, before the show, during the show, after the show, and just, you know, just a well of knowledge. And any chance that you can get to chit chat or, you know, sit under that learning tree with somebody, I highly encourage people to do that. You know, they say, well, I don't want to ask a stupid question. The only stupid question you're going to ask is the one you really don't ask, you know. So, you know, after Reload, I asked Franco, I said, well, what'd you think? He says, well, you know, he told me, he gave me the goods and he gave me the bads. He said, you know, there was a lot of stuff that was good, like the timing was good, but there were some segments that went a little long that probably could have used a little less, you know, because they always say less is more. And, you know, having gone back and watched some of the stuff, he's not wrong. And, you know, I didn't get offended by it. I didn't get butt hurt. I didn't, you know, I was just like, all right, I'll take a look into it and see if I can make adjustments. And that's the other thing about learning, is if somebody gives you something and it's good and you can actually look at it and agree with it, now what you have to do is apply it. And that's what a lot of people forget to do. That they'll listen, they'll take the advice, they'll take that criticism, and they'll keep their mouth shut and they'll keep their ears open. But they forget that third step, apply. And that's what I'm hoping to do with Warrior's Call, is to apply some of those changes that I needed to make. Because it wasn't just Franco. You know, I got advice from Matthew Palmer. I got advice from Richard Hill. I got advice from other outside sources that I've sent the show to. You know, because, you know, I enjoy feedback. I encourage feedback. Because, you know, I don't want to be the guy to walk around and be like, nope, I got it. I'm doing this. It's my way. You know, I mean, of course I want to do things my way, but if I can use those resources that are available to me to make my product better, that's the route that I want to go. So, you know, it's like when Kyle first started out, there were things that could have been different. You know, he had, you know, we've talked about this at length, the cards were really long. There were a lot of matches, and, you know, like, dude, you know, and not just me, but other people was like, kind of thin that down a little bit. So now, you know, we've thinned it down a little bit and the shows are still every bit as good. They're not any less good. They're every bit as good, if not better, because there's more time to enjoy it. I worked for CWF for a long time, for about 3 years, Christian Wrestling Federation out of Fate, Texas. And, you know, they did long, long shows. They had a lot of matches, but they were all short. And, you know, I told him, I said, you know, I personally think if you trim the amount of matches down and gave them just a little bit more time each match, you'd be able to get a little bit more content out of it and not everything so rushed. And, you know, and again, that wasn't just my advice, that came from other people, and they started to do that. And those shows are actually, you know, really enjoyable to watch because now they have time to tell stories, not just long-term over, you know, broadcast a broadcast story, but stories within the match, which is, you know, stories within the show also. You know, you've got the long-term story, you got the show story, and then you got the match story. You got to get all that in there. And, you know, that's what I'm learning right now, is how to structure long-term, not just in-show story, but long-term story, you know, like feuds and all that fun stuff. So, you know, all the fluff that builds that interest and the draw, because that's where the draw is at. Wrestling's wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, anybody can go to a wrestling show, but not everybody's going to want to go to that wrestling show every week or every month, because there it's just a bunch of guys doing a bunch of wrestling moves. Yeah, that's cool, but where's the investment? Where's the emotional draw?
Absolutely. I mean, see, in pro wrestling, like, you got to give the fans a reason to not only come to this particular show, but you want to give them that highly convincing reason why they want to come back. Like,
yep.
Kyle has done an absolutely fantastic job with that. Same thing with Keith Roberts and Luke Gotti with VIP Wrestling. Same thing with DFW All Pro Wrestling. You know, and no doubt, the same thing's going to happen with No Legacy Texas Wrestling as well, because those shows I've watched on YouTube, you know, I was, you know, highly entertained, and, you know, and I'm really looking forward to see, you know, how Legacy Texas Wrestling goes in the future.
Me too. I'm just glad that we have a future. You know, there was a time where we were almost about to have to just call it a one and done, because you know, finances, you know, life gets in the way of stuff. And my wife, you know, bless her heart, she both shows I knew nothing about until, you know, somebody accidentally spilt the beans. So, you know, if you watch a real quick plug, if you go to YouTube/LegacyTX Wrestling, you can watch the first show, Pull the Trigger. You know, my wife literally had 90% of that show booked before I knew anything about it. Wow. She had the talent booked. She, you know, the only thing that she didn't have was a venue, but she had everybody. She had a date. She had talent. She had an idea, and it was a Father's Day present to me.
Wow.
And yeah. I mean, you know, there's a video on Facebook of me breaking down in tears, tears of joy. I only cry when I'm happy, and I only cry when I'm in pain. I very seldom ever cry when I'm sad, but happiness, you know, tears of joy. And it was just one of those things, because it's been a lifelong dream of mine to follow in my mom's footsteps and be a promoter. And, you know, that's where the name Legacy came from, because I am my mother's legacy. Mm-hmm. Your legacy is what you leave behind. And, you know, the mission behind Legacy is not just a wrestling show. The mission behind Legacy is opportunity. The mission behind Legacy is appreciation, respect, you know, loyalty, love, kindness. So, I mean, everything that we do, yes, it is a wrestling show, but everything that we do, there's a reflection behind it of why we're doing it. You know, it's not just Carl Knight to get into the wrestling game and be a promoter. It's, you know, Carl Knight showing his love and appreciation for those that came before him, those that are in front of him, and those that will come after him. You know, that's what Legacy stands for to me and to my wife and to my family. So, you know, they say leave it, you know, Kyle even said something about this, leave it better than you found it. And I'm not going to say that I'm going to be the difference maker, or that Kyle's going to be the difference maker, but by God, we're going to give it a shot. We're going to try to make that difference. You know, something that me and Kyle do that you don't see very often at wrestling shows is, you know, we open up with a prayer, with a word of prayer. And it's not to, you know, tout our Christianity or anything like that. It's just to give thanks, you know, like you said, give thanks to God for the blessings that we have. You know, when I pray, we don't ask for anything. When we pray, we thank. So, you know, and you know, on Reload, I had Johnny Lawless. He's an actual minister. He officiated mine and my wife's wedding. And like, every time I watch that video and I watch that opening prayer, it gives me so much spirit and so much joy. And it, you know, it fills me up the way that I want, you know, makes me feel the way that I want to feel. And I you know, that's just something that's never going to go away with legacy. Because when I was growing up and, you know, doing the VFWs and the AMVETs and, you know, anything that was military related, we were required to do a prayer, the Pledge of Allegiance, and the National Anthem before we started. Now, I'm not required to do that. It's a tradition that I appreciate. And so I open my show with a word of prayer and the National Anthem out of respect. Matter of fact, our next show, next Friday, November 11th, falls on Veterans Day. So we will be addressing our veterans as well. I've got a very special presentation for the National Anthem. It's going to be pretty cool. And like I said, you know, we want to show that appreciation for those that died for our freedoms, you know, and fought for our freedoms. So, you know, like I said, everything that we do has a driven purpose. And, you know, Warrior's Call has a driven purpose. You know, it's not just a military thing. Also, it's to let people know that no matter how bad it gets, you can always stand up and fight. You can always beat your demons, you know, because that's what warriors do. You don't always win, but you always fight. Even when you don't want to, you always fight, because that's what you're called to do as a warrior. So, I mean, like I said, you know, everything that we do has a driven purpose. So I think that's what separates legacy from, and I'm not downgrading anybody. I'm not trying to, you know, say that they don't have a driven purpose, but that's my purpose. And I think that's what separates us a little bit, is that we are, we believe in being humble and not just saying we're humble. So, you know, and that may get me heat. I don't know, but that's just, like I said, man, I was just raised on a different level, different aspect. So it's, you know, I love this business, and I want to show that appreciation. And to me, this is how I show the appreciation to past, present, and future.
Absolutely. And, you know, and watching everything, you know, so far, what I'm seeing from your promotion, you know, Legacy Texas Wrestling, you know, it's always exciting to watch, you know, Max Beckett. And, you know, Max Beckett, absolutely unbelievable. And, you know, another dude, you know, I've kind of gotten a bit acquainted with, but, you know, and another interesting, you know, talent in the ring. But of course, you know, it's always good to see Angel Camacho. So, and you know, Corey O'Neill, who I've actually been growing closer and closer with, you know, and I think Corey O'Neill is actually set to be—he's actually set to work at Warrior's Call, is he not?
Yeah, he's going to be taking on Franco Angelo in our Hoss fight. I'm a big fan of violence. I'm a big fan of big guys being big guys, and so every Legacy show is going to have a Hoss fight of some sort. So either a tag match or a singles, maybe even a triple threat. I may even later on down the road, I may even do a Hoss fight scramble. I don't know. But I'm a big fan of big guys being big guys. Or as my one of my commentators, Kyle Smith, says, big sweaty men slapping meat. I'm not a fan of that phrase, but it's kind of a thing, thanks to Big E and Kyle Smith. So, but yeah, Corey's a great guy, man. I've watched him since he started training at DFW All Pro. Max, again, another class act human being, and that's another thing, you know. Everybody that we've booked, like I said, I've had some type of interaction with, and it's always been a positive one. It's always been something that, you know, it left me going, man, that's a good guy. I wouldn't mind working with him again. So, you know, I like to reach out to people that I've worked with before that I've had good relationships with, like Avon Axel. You know, even though we had a little spat, you know, last winter at GWF Onslaught, you know, we're still friends. We've worked out, well, somebody worked out our differences for us, but now he and I are on the same page. Dill Dempsey is another great guy. You know, I met him when I was working at Pro Wrestling. No. Was it PWR? Maybe Pro Wrestling Religion down in Austin and Lucha Brutal. I'm pretty sure I worked with him at Lucha Brutal also. Another great, you know, top class guy, Emilio Guzman. Good, solid human being. The only person on the card that I have not met personally and shook hands with is Christopher Watson and Alexander Crowley. But Alexander Crowley was referred to me by a fan, and I checked out his stuff, and I fell in love with the guy. Like, he reminds me so much of a young Tommy Inn, or Aleister Black, whatever you want to call him. Big fan of that style, big fan of the personality, but I'm a bigger fan of the conversation that I had with the man behind the character. I won't pull back the fourth wall too much, but great personality, great disposition, and to me, I feel that he is an amazing human being. Just from the conversations that we've had. So, Xanthi and I are both looking very forward to meeting him. One of my best friends in the entire business, Magnificent Malico. You know, I worked with, the very first time I saw him was at a Heroes of Wrestling show. And we have been friends almost ever since. When Xanthi and I got married, that was one of the first stops we made. We drove up to Oklahoma, and that's where we hung out for a couple hours before we went to the casino and spent a bunch of money we didn't have to spend. But it's your honeymoon. So, yeah. So I mean, you know, I'm sure there's going to be a point that we're going to end up booking people that we've never met, or working with people that we've never met. And there's nothing wrong with that, because that's the reach that you want. You want word of mouth to travel. You want people to tell you, hey man, these guys are awesome. You should go work for them. You know, they'll take care of you. They'll do this. They'll do that. You know, they're good people. It's hard to find genuinely good people in the business, in professional, well, in general. I mean, it's hard. And, you know, again, I'm not trying to say that I'm better than anybody, because I'm not. I'm nobody's judge. I'm no better than the next guy. But I just know how I project myself to people, and I appreciate how people project themselves to me. And I like to interact with like-minded folk, if you will. So,
absolutely.
Sorry, I keep, you know, not trying to put myself over, but, you know, my heart. Well, I'm putting my heart.
I'm glad you are, because, you know, part of the reason I wanted you here, you know, it's to help, you know, promote, you know, your upcoming show, your promotion, you know, everything like that. I mean, and like that, me as a journalist, bring in, you know, somebody in the business that they work in respectively. You know, I always say the floor is yours. I mean, you'll be doing most of the talking, and I'm just kind of, I'm listening in, you know, taking it all in. Just growing more and more excited, you know, seeing, Malico take on against the talent that you just spoke about, Mr. Alexander Crowley. And, of course, yeah. You know, seeing Rook Tyler and Max Beckett teaming up. I mean, this actually has me really pumped up.
So the Rook Tyler and Max Beckett, at the last Palais Pro show, you know, me and my wife, we were looking to fill spots on the card, and I had horsepower, you know, I had Eddie and Nate booked because, you know, those are my guys, which unfortunately I will not be able to represent them as their mechanic because, you know, I run the company and that's kind of biased and we want to expel that, that bias. But I was talking to Rook and I was talking to Max. I said, hey, what would you two think about teaming up against Horsepower? And they both looked at me and they go, we love it. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
All right, give me a name. I said, we need a name. I actually produced an intro video for them and everything. I was like, my idea for their name was Whiplash. And they're like, no, we don't like that. So that they countered with the noise and I loved it. So, you know, I'm real, you know, I love working with Rook. He's a sponge. You know, to find out that he was literally driving from Oklahoma City 3 days a week to train at DFW All Pro, that right there, my friends, is dedication. To find out his age, you know, he's a little north of 30. I don't know how far north, but I know he's a little north of 30. So he's an old rookie, but he's a great talent. He's a great person, you know, solid in the ring. And when he's not happy about something, he knows why he's not happy about it, you know, so he can identify his mistakes. And that is a level of maturity that a lot of green guys don't have. Max was the same way. So, you know, Max is like my love child. I love that man. I would do anything in the world for him. So for him to, you know, be on my first show and be on the third show and stepping into an element that he's never worked. You know, I'm not saying that he's never worked tag, but, you know, for me to pitch an idea and for them to just jump on it the way that they did, you know, I'm greatly appreciative of that. And I'm looking forward to a fast paced match. I'm looking forward to a very fun match, which is why I put it on first. That is your opening contest, by the way. And, you know, I'm looking very forward to that. And I hope that they stick with it. I hope it's not just a one and done. I hope that they mesh well because, you know, that Max, you know, is one of the coaches for DFW All Pro now. And, you know, he's worked with Rook extensively through his entire career, you know, basically, you know, bringing him up, you know, helping with his training. I'm not going to say that he trained him, but he helped with his training. So that's a dynamic that they already have. So I think that this is going to be a ballparker, you know, this is going to be a home run. And I hope that the fans get to come out and see it, and I hope that they enjoy the hell out of it.
Absolutely, and I will be there. I'm at, you know, I will be at, you know, Legacy Texas's Warriors Call. And for all you independent wrestling fans in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, I strongly urge you to not only attend Pele Pro, which is actually going to take place this week, but I strongly, yes, strongly urge you to keep an eye out on DFW All Pro, like VIP, yeah, Wrestling. You know, like that. And, you know, for Warriors Call, you know, just go on legacytexaswrestling.com. You can get your tickets.
It's actually, let me just correct you. It's Legacy TX. I didn't want to spell it the entire word, Texas. It's legacytx.com. Tickets are $15, which is a very fair price. MPX, it's at 510 Harwood Road. That's the MPX Event Center or MPX Training Center. And, you know, huge shout out to MPX and Ernie Pruitt for, you know, taking a chance on the first one and then, you know, giving us an opportunity for the second one and maybe the third one later on, the fourth one. So, you know, we are looking at a February date right now for our next show. That is fresh on the pot. So we haven't quite got too many details yet, but we are looking at mid-February. So
awesome. LegacyTXWrestling.com.
Yep. And like I said, you know, you can find us on all social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube. We're just looking to build. We're looking to build a brand, and we're looking to expand a little bit and, you know, get some fresh eyes on some fresh talent. And eventually one day I want to do a carload show. I don't know if you know what that is, but I want to bring in a carload from the East Coast. I want to bring a carload in from the, you know, not really the East Coast, but East, North, South, you know, different regions, and, you know, bring in talent that nobody has ever seen in this area. And, you know, that's an ambition that I have right now. And then I've got an insane amount of plans, as most wrestling fans do. You know, we always do the fantasy book, and that's just one of the things that really fueled this. Is my wife came up and she says, "Hey, give me a bunch of names," and I'm like, "Okay." So I gave her a bunch of local names, and she says, "Now, who would you put here? Who'd you know?" She made me book a show, and that literally almost turned into our first show, minus a few people. So she was being sneaky, and I didn't know it. I thought she was just taking an interest in, you know, how I would book a show or something like that. But no, she was taking notes. So Legacy would not be possible without Xanthia Knight. That is, she is the love of my life. She is the biggest supporter that I've ever had in my entire life. And, you know, without her, Legacy would just be an idea. She made it happen. And, you know, bless her heart. She works her butt off. And she plays hell to get me to stay the straight and narrow and not venture too far off. If it was up to me, I'd be booking $40,000 shows that I couldn't afford.
So. It's just that sometimes, you know, it's over the excitement. It's so overwhelming. Oh, yeah. You're just like, well, might as well take a chance, because that's what it's all about. Vince McMahon, when Vince McMahon took over in '82, he took the chance, raided the territories. It's all about taking a chance. Even in my world in podcasting, starting your own shows, growing. Yeah. I mean, having five shows. I mean, people ask me all the time, do you really need five? Can't you just follow them all onto one? I don't need to explain the whole thing here, but, you know, at the end of the day, it's all about taking a chance.
Oh, trust me, I understand, man. At one time, I was producing three or four different shows at one time. And, you know, it was a hobby at first, and then it turned into a job, and jobs are blah. I don't like jobs. The only job that I like is the one that pays me. So, but yeah, I mean, I get it. When you're trying to create that much content, it gets very hectic after a while. And, so, you know, I literally just, I was going to tone it back a little bit. I was still going to do the ref stuff and then work on the podcasting. And then the bookings started coming and coming and coming. And I couldn't fit in the podcasting. And I was just like, I'm just done with podcasting. You know, I'm actually making money. So, it's still fun to mess around with. And, you know, I may end up trying to do some podcasting again later on down the road, but right now my primary focus is Legacy. It's a passion project. It's a love. It's a headache. But in the end, it's ours, and nobody can take that away from us, you know. And
no, absolutely not. Nobody can. And I want to personally assure you.
You can try like hell, but my wife is 5'4" and she'll kick your ass. So pardon my language.
Yeah. Well, no, I know. Yeah. Believe me, this is what I'd say about my mom. My mom is a floral designer. She owns her own floral design business. Uh-huh. She hires you. If you don't work, if you are late, she's not going to take it easy on you, boy. But I want to give you and your wife my personal assurance that I will do everything at the best of my ability to help grow your show, tell people about your show. If you have flyers at the next show, just give them to me. You know, I'm going to do like the same promise that I gave Keith Roberts, Lou Gotti, Kyle Hessler. You know, I'm going to help you guys to the best of my ability, and I promise you that.
And, you know, that's all we ask for, you know. You know, it's nice to have the support. It really is nice to have the support. But, you know, one of the things that, like, you know, people always, especially around the first show, they're like, hey, is there anything I can do to help out? You know, is there anything I can do? And I was like, man, I'm going to be honest with you. Buy a ticket. That's what's going to help me the most. Because, mm-hmm. you know, not to sound shady or carny or anything like that, but if we don't have people at the venue to watch the show, to buy the tickets, to buy the merch, to buy this, to buy that, to spend, you know, money is what makes this business go. If it's just a bunch of guys in there working for in front of nobody, I mean, what's the point? I mean, I could see like a one-off show or something like that to where it was just, you know, an empty arena show or something like that. You know, during COVID, there was a lot of that going on. But it was also produced for social media. But, you know, without the fans, this business doesn't exist. And, you know, we at Legacy love our fans. Because, you know, again, they're not just people buying tickets to come see a wrestling show. These are people that are buying tickets to support Carl and Xanthia and the wrestlers on the card. They're not just coming to see a wrestling show. They have a personal, emotional investment in us. And that's, to me, I think that's what's the most important, is the personal, emotional investment. You know, because, like I said, I can roll down the road and find a wrestling show. I can go down to Houston on any Friday night and find a wrestling show. But am I personally invested? And that's, to me, that's what's important.
Absolutely.
That personal investment.
See, right there, I think, well, what me and the listeners have learned is that you have an outstanding love and passion for the pro wrestling business. I mean, the pro wrestling business, to me, much like Mr. Hessler, you know, Keith, Lou Gotti, Nasco, Chandler Hopkins, all the talent that I've had the honor to work with, you know, shake hands with and make a connection with and a friendship, you know, this is y'all's life. And I'm not trying to bring up, you know, the whole Rock and Mankind, but, you know, this is your life.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
I mean, so yes and no. This is what keeps me sane. This is my escape from reality, because, you know, we do have bad days. Everybody has bad days. Everybody has hard days, and we need that escape. Some people go fishing. Some people go hunting. Some people go to the drag strip. You know, just that getaway moment. And wrestling, you know, there was a movement not too long ago that, you know, wrestling saved my life, and, you know, wrestling saved my life. You know, wrestling, you know, that there was a point where I was done, because I didn't have a drive. I didn't have a passion. I was just a day-to-day guy, and I got tired of being a day-to-day guy. I wanted something to do. I wanted something to be a part of. I wanted to be something bigger than me. And wrestling is that. Wrestling, you know, and to be able to be another platform for the fan base, for the wrestlers in general, you know, that, to me, that makes me happy. You know, when I can get, you know, if it's 20 people, 50 people, 100 people, 200 people all in the same room together, and we all have the same interest, and we're all doing the same thing. We're getting away from our reality for that two and a half, maybe 3 hours. Six if you go to a VIP show. Shots fired. But, you know, we need that.
You need
we
it, yeah.
We need that break. And so, you know, it's just, you know, so it is my life, but it is also my escape from the realities of life that just drag you down and make you want to just end. And, you know, Jackson Stone is probably one of the most positive human beings I've ever met in my entire life. And at every show that I was at, he would always come up to me, put his hand on the back of my neck and be like, "You're going to be good." And that's all I needed. You know, no matter what was going on that day, no matter what was on my mind at that moment, he would come up and be like, "You're going to be all right."
Amen.
I mean, I would just take that time and I would focus on what I needed to focus on at that moment. You know, I left everything at the door. I left all my troubles. And for that 2.5 hours, you know, 2-3 hours that I was at that show, that was my focus and that was my drive. And that's what made me happy. So, you know, and I want to project that, and I want people to understand that, you know, wrestling is a safe place. Wrestling is a community. Wrestling is a church of sorts, you know, because we're all there for the same reason. We're, you know, and that, you know, there are some people that are there just to sit there and heckle and all that stuff. Fine, whatever, you know, but the vast majority of us, we're just trying to get that couple hours of relaxation. And that's what I want. You know, that's what I want for the fans. I want them to come out and have fun, but I also want them to leave their troubles at the door. And I want them to just, let's focus on this for a minute. You know, excuse me.
I can't tell you how much.
I said I got a little emotional there for a second, so, you know.
I know, man. I'm getting emotional, too, because I can't tell you how much VIP Wrestling, Pele Pro, DFW All Pro, you know, how much I've gone there, you know, stressed, almost depressed because of how stressful it is being a podcaster being jobless and sometimes having to Uber just to be able to pay my bills. And I go in there, and then I go out smiling. Like, I go out of the towel, and I shake their hands. I'm like, thank you so much. You know, yeah. I make sure I don't leave until I find that talent. I say thank you. I don't leave until I make sure I properly thank somebody that actually made a positive impact.
Yeah. So, and yeah. You know, and again, you know, that goes back to the people that I try to surround myself with. You know, the positive impacts, the lasting impacts. Because I've met a lot of cool wrestlers, but you know, they weren't positive impacts. So, you know, that's what I look for. I look for that lasting impression. Mm-hmm. I look for the people that, you know, don't mind going out and kissing babies and shaking hands and all that fun stuff. You know, that they look forward to that. They're like, "Oh man, I can't wait to go out and, you know, mingle with the fans." Those are the guys I want. Those are the people that I want to associate myself with, because as I've said, and I will continue to say, till my dying breath, this business does not survive without the fan base. And the more people that understand that and realize that and show that appreciation, the better.
Amen, brother. Amen. So. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to remind everybody that Ringside Chaos is available to you on all streaming platforms, including Spotify, Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Amazon Music, and YouTube. If you would kindly please subscribe and share this out with all your pro wrestling fans, I strongly, strongly appreciate it. And I strongly urge you to please check out Legacy Texas Wrestling along with Pele Pro Wrestling, VIP Wrestling, and DFW All Pro Wrestling. Carl, I want to thank you so much from the bottom of my heart for coming on the show. And brother, I promise you, I will have you on again soon one day.
Alex, I appreciate it. I really do.
All right. Well, thank y'all very much, and I'll see everybody next time.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.